I think as media are aware, KiwiSaver has taken off to a level in our wildest dreams we couldn't have anticipated. And I understand that just around the eve of Easter, it actually reached its 500,000th customer, which is fantastic news. So we planned on having a little party to celebrate the 500,000th customer, and we thought, what better way to do it than with a brand new entrant, whose dad and mum are going to sign the forms today, because it is possible for people to be joined up by mum and dad at birth, open the account, the government's $1,000 goes in, and in this case, Jules and Megan have decided that they will contribute $20 a week into baby Remy's account, which of course, by the time he gets to an age where he's considering home ownership, mum and dad will have given him a very good start indeed. So that's the great news. Michael, would you like to say a little about uptake and how you're seeing it at the moment?
Yeah, we passed the 500,000 mark just on the eve of Easter. And the very interesting thing that's happened is that there's quite a change occurred from the first couple of months, July, August last year, to the last couple of months, January, February, running into March. In the first couple of months, only a quarter were aged under 35, and 30% were actually aged over 55. In the last 2 months that we've got full figures for, over half are aged under 35. And it's down now to about 13% in those 2 months, age 55 plus. So in the first period, we were seeing people basically transferring out of existing schemes, perhaps, or people looking forward to retirement in the not-too-distant future. What we're really seeing now is the younger age groups coming in. You can't get much younger than Remy here, starting up in the KiwiSaver. And that, I think, is showing a real shift in behaviour starting to occur over time. And Remy's going to be growing up as a KiwiSaver, whereas I suppose the Generation Y grew up as Kiwi borrowers. There's a whole shift in mentality occurring, I think, as we move forward. It's great. It's wonderful.
And Jules, you signed up yourself,
yeah,
the KiwiSaver, and what made you decide to sign Remy up?
Well, basically because I didn't want Remy to be in the same position I was. We had Remy, and at the moment can't afford to buy a house with it. We've had to borrow for our education and all sorts of things. So we wanted Remy to actually have money to put on the deposit for a house or put towards his education.
It's also really important to us that he's financially literate.
Yeah.
That's one thing we do want to teach.
Yeah. He's already trying to get hold of the jewels, isn't he? They're the savings.
He's fond of jewellery already.
So, to celebrate today, we've got a little T-shirt appropriately sized for Remy. There we are. He's the KiwiSaver kid.
You're going to eat it.
That's the whole point about KiwiSavers. You can't eat the Remy.
And we should let Jules and Megan and Remy cut the cake. Might be able to... We'd probably even get it appropriately laced with the pink icing before the session's out.
He doesn't need to sleep.
He might be a bit warm.
Oops.
Just a few
minutes. Oh, wow.
A lot of people stripping themselves out of existing assets become KiwiSavers.
It's
KiwiSaver is something on top.
Sorry.
There you go.
Hang on.
Too much fun.
It's a very natural reaction face the radio live microphone. I understand it.
We've got the form which Jules is going to fit in as well.
So we just find under here. There we go. We'll just you with a bit of room on the table. That'd be yours. Yeah, it'd be a lot easier. We'll just make a bit of room there.
It's going to be covered in cake.
Not everybody jumps up and down this way when they become a TV soap.
I don't believe it.
Jules is kept.
I am, yes.
Why is this working for you?
Well, it's funny because for us it's much easier. We are on a one income, so money is tight. But because it goes into the account before we actually see it, it's much easier, and we do know that it is there. We don't have the accumulation to spend it.
And we've got two words
that
we're trying to
say, compounded interest. It's much better than two other words I have some trouble with.
Well, you're just following on from that. Are you both party supporters? You two?
I have no affiliations.
What about you?
I am, yeah.
Are you a card carrying member of the Labour Party?
No. I have been in the past, but I'm not at the moment.
Hell and I still are, I wish it does.
Dr.
Carr,
when it gets to a point where KiwiSaver is so successful that you look at making it compulsory?
I don't think so. I think the advantage of the compulsory enrolment opt-out plus incentives provision is all the arrows, if you like, point in the direction of joining KiwiSaver. But if people have other priorities, other situations, they can make those informed choices. It also, I think, avoids getting into those two difficult areas. If you're forcing people to save, should you somehow guarantee their savings? And if you're forcing people to save, does it then come to be seen as an offset against New Zealand superannuation? And we've been very clear that KiwiSaver is on top of New Zealand superannuation. It's not a substitute for it.
That's always been my concern, that if the scheme went down a compulsory route, it would be a step towards the undermining of New Zealand Super. It's great as an optional add-on for people. It's been made very attractive with the employer contribution and with the personal tax credit. But to go further than that is only to invite at some point a rethink of universal New Zealand Super, which I don't think would be desirable.
So, Jules, if National decided it didn't want to keep the scheme in its current form, what would you do?
Well, we would continue saving for remedy, but...
It's a bit of a private scheme.
Yeah.
The cake is quite good for throwing at people. Some situation. What's inside the bottle?
So, you said that you couldn't afford to buy a house. Is that on
the
10-year plan?
Oh, definitely. But because we... It's funny what you said about borrowing. I mean, we've borrowed a lot of money together and individually to study and to do other stuff with. So we do need to save quite a lot before that would be a real option.
Especially on a city like Wellington.
What's your job? I'm a sommelier, a wine guy. A wine loft on the terrace.
Write that down.
So how did they write you into this?
So cynical.
Did you meet the press gallery?
You haven't answered the question.
I know. We got a call.
We like the scheme.
Yeah, we like the scheme.
Where
I
asked
you
to do it, sorry?
A friend of
Jules. Yeah, a friend of mine, Andrew.
There you go. but obviously half a million people like the scheme. So it's quite a good choice.
A lot of people.
Okay.
Can I just ask you, Prime Minister, just one question about Roger Douglas? He's gone on the front foot today. Yes, he has, saying that if you disagreed with the policies that you passed in the 1980s, why haven't you reversed them?
Yeah. Well, must have escaped his notice that this Labor government does not have a program of selling state-owned enterprises. I can well recall as a Labor backbench in 1997 going up a good faith. Campaigning policy of corporatising state assets but giving them public ownership. I'd know as soon as I got through that election and started to sit around the table when the papers came up from Roger Douglas to break our word. Now, my determination of becoming leader of the Labor Party was to put those days of saying one thing and doing another well and truly behind us. And I wouldn't ever want to revisit the experience I had in government when he was a member of the Labor Party. It was a great relief to me when he and his ilk founded their own party.
How difficult was it for you during that period when you were a minister in the Labor government between 84 and 87?
Well, it was absolutely horrific. I will recall when the paper came up unannounced to a cabinet committee to sell Peter Cork shortly after the 1987 election. And in good faith, I went to the meeting to say that I didn't think that was what we had been elected to do, and was in essence treated with a mixture of ignore and what the hell is she doing here. So I remember this period with a great deal of pain and passion, and I can assure you I have no desire to repeat it.
And what about you, Dr. Cullen? You were on the stage when, in fact,
at my insistence, I've actually said this before, I don't think anybody really noticed it. Initially, I wasn't going to be on the stage because I'd opposed the flat tax package, as it's now been put into the public arena. But I said, well, that's silly, because the first thing the media is going to come and do is ask me why I'm not there, given that there was a whole series of stuff about benefits and the relationship between wages and benefits. So you better have me there, however grumpy I may look, not have me there, and then me being asked why I'm not there. So I was there, and the record will show I looked pretty grumpy at the time. It's not something that just came on with age. I've mastered grumpiness quite early in my career.
Thanks.
Okay.
Just
thanks.
On Meridian, can you give us any indication of what you're planning to do with your $175 million?
That will be used for capital purposes of one sort or another. Trains and boats and planes.
Trains.
We have announced that we are in discussions with Toll.
Were there further talks with Frontier Deadline on the weekend?
There have been some further talks. I haven't had an update today about how the talks have been going. We are not as far apart as we were a week or so ago by quite some margin.
Do you expect, are there further talks penciled in this week or?
I'm not sure when the negotiating team are having discussions, almost certainly further this week. I also expect on Thursday evening, when I'm at a function where the New Zealand Chief Exec of Toll is, that might well be some conversation on the sides, on the side, so to speak.
So is the decision imminent, would you
say? I wouldn't want to say it's imminent, but as I say, I think we're a lot closer than we were a week or two ago.